Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today, Hashi Bai couldn't join us, but I do have a special guest, which you may recognize from his own show previously, and he's previously, right?
Yeah.
And he's been here a long time. Corey, would you like to introduce yourself for anybody that doesn't know who you are? The two people out there?
Hey, two folks. My name is Corey Fowler. I'm a PM on the Azure App Service team. I focus a lot on PHP platform-specific stuff, but then also kind of some of our evangelism efforts as well. So always making demos. Doing fun things.
Great. And Corey actually used to be on the same team as me, so I'm really excited to have him back here to talk. And what are you going to be talking to us about today?
So we came up with this feature called Local Cache. And Local Cache kind of enables a number of different things, but there's also a couple of like things that you have to watch out for when you're using it. So basically, if you think of the architecture of Azure App Service, you know, great, highly scalable platform, scales up in seconds, but the other side of that is, because we can scale up in seconds, we've made some architectural decisions to run off of a network-based disk.
Mm.
And basically what that does is it means every time you are pulling stuff from that disk, it incurs latency. Maybe not the best thing for some applications,
sure,
like PHP or Node, things that constantly read in these scripts and may or may not have caching mechanisms.
Definitely.
So what we've done is we've enabled this feature called Local Cache. What basically goes, hey, network-based disk, can you please bring all of this down to the local disk beside the VM?
Mm.
And then when you have that available, then everything's running local, and you don't have to incur that the network latency pulling all of that stuff.
Sounds like that's probably pretty good speed improvement.
Yeah, it does definitely help increase speed.
Great. Well, before we actually get into his full presentation, I do want to go through a little bit of news. It's been a little while since we've had a show and we've talked about stuff. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is some news for Java. Just yesterday, Microsoft announced that it joined the Eclipse Foundation, which is really great. It gets us to be more involved in Eclipse and its guiding direction and stuff like that. And included in that is some other announcements about our support for Java. So first of all, if you're familiar with Team Explorer Everywhere, which is basically enables anyone that does Team Explorer or Visual Studio Code or Visual Studio on Team Services rather to do their version control. That's actually being open sourced so that anybody can understand how it works and we can start working on it with the community. The next big piece is that we are enhancing the toolkit for Eclipse so that you can actually deploy Java web apps straight from Eclipse. So previously, what you were able to do is you could, you know, export your WAR file from Eclipse and then take that and deploy it through several different means into Azure Web Apps. This is going to cut out that step so you can go right from your project in Eclipse straight to Web Apps. And, you know, I've done some web app development with Java on web, so I'm super excited about this. This is going to make it a lot easier.
Nice.
So that's a lot of fun stuff. Another cool thing that recently came out, we introduced a lower cost tier for Azure Search. So now, you know, if you've looked at the tiers before, the difference between, you know, free and then the different standards, we've now got a basic tier, which, you know, as you imagine, a little less storage, a little bit fewer transactions, but a little bit more approachable as far as cost goes. So that's super fun. We also announced the general availability of StorSimple Virtual Array. We've done a show on StorSimple in the past. If you're not familiar with it, it's a way to basically put in an appliance in your data center that enables you to have data storage, which is also backed up / scaled across the cloud. Makes it really easy and painfully simple, actually, because you don't need to worry about, am I writing to my local disk or my disk in the storage center, am I writing to the cloud? It kind of handles all that for you in this really amazing way. And so now we're GAing Virtual Array, so take a look. It's very cool functionality.
Nice.
The next bit also has to do with Azure Search. It has to do with the public preview of the indexer for Azure Blob Storage. So previously, prior to this feature, if you wanted to be able to search your blobs, you know, there was quite a bit you had to do. And by searching blobs, it's not, you know, about, hey, searching for the name of a blob. It's really, let's say I've got text files and I've got images and I've got office files and HTML, stuff like that. How can I actually index that content and search that? Well, this search capability now as part of Azure Search enables you to actually index what's in those and doing, you know, OCR and all that stuff. So you can actually understand what content is in there and actually search over it.
Yes.
So that's a really awesome capability that's now in public. So we're going to go ahead and switch over and see our main presentation. All right, and we're back. All right, Corey, let's see what you got.
All right, so I kind of already introduced what Azure App Service Local Cache is.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing is we do have the documentation out online.
Great.
So there are a few different pieces to that. And I'll kind of highlight what this has to, like what you need to do or what you need to understand In the docs, and then we'll jump into a demo.
Great. And we'll make sure we provide links to this and anything else Corey's got right beneath the video.
Perfect. So basically, because of what I've mentioned before, like taking things from network disk and pulling it down to a local storage, there are a few gotchas and things that you need to kind of be concerned about. So the first thing is the amount of disk space that's actually available there. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're running a free or shared site, you don't really have a lot of content there. So this feature is not really a great place to take advantage of that.
Sure.
You'd want to do this more in like a basic, standard, or premium fashion.
Okay.
And then basically we start with a size of 300 megabyte cache, but then we allow you to expand that up to a gig. So if you are anywhere between 300 megs and a gig for your overall application size, it works. You can go, you can use this feature. If your source files are bigger than a gig, sorry.
it's a lot of source files.
That is a lot of source files. Like, you'd have to have a very significantly sized website to get over a gig. Not that I haven't seen it before, but
sure.
That is something to keep an eye out. The other thing is it's a one-directional sync. Mm. So we bring it from storage into local disk. We don't push things back.
Okay.
So if you are using this and you are taking advantage of writing things out to disk instead of writing them out to blob storage,
yep.
like, you really should be.
Sure.
You're going to see that anything that gets written to the local cache, anytime that VM restarts, it will disappear.
And not only that, I assume if you've got multiple instances running your site, then it's only getting written to the local cache in the one specific one that it's writing to at that point.
That is correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one thing that we do make sure that still kind of sits on the disk, but still kind of worried about that whole disk recycle thing, is the logs and diagnostic logs for your site. So we do, every once in a while, continue to write those back out to a storage platform.
Okay.
But because it is kind of a periodic thing, there's potential for data loss there.
Okay.
So something to kind of keep in mind.
And so basically, though, this is kind of a whole hog thing where when you switch over to doing local cache, it's all the files, including everything because we're writing the log files, that's all going to be in local cache. There's no like half-C sort of thing. It's on or it's off.
It's on and it's off, but it is kind of a half-C kind of thing. Because if you've ever deployed through Kudu and you go and you look at the file structure of Kudu, there's a repositories folder in there that gets very large because it's literally pulling your Git repo and you have all of the different revisions that have gotten deployed your site within there. Mm-hmm. So we don't actually pull that over.
Okay.
And that kind of saves space on that 1 gig
Which
file
makes
size.
Sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, there are some things that we leave behind, and this doc does kind of go into some detail a little bit further on that. So I'll point people to here.
Perfect.
The other thing is we have two kind of locations that you think about when you're deploying to web apps. There's D:home, which is like that network-based drive.
Mm.
And then we have D:local, which is the local drive.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently exposed D:local, I think it was a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did have some transient data that you didn't care so much about and you wanted to write in a very quick way, like maybe caching an image before you push it out to storage, you could take advantage of D:local.
Okay.
If you wanted to write it back to disk, you could use D:home.
Mm.
When you turn on local cache, we actually redirect D:home to the local drive that you're running to. So it completely disconnects that network-based drive, and you are running directly from that local disk.
Okay.
And then the other thing, this is the last thing, because that was an exhaustive list, is you do still have access to your Kudu site, but your Kudu site doesn't get cached or doesn't get synced as well. But you can go and you can actually use the virtual file system. So if you were doing programmatic writes to your site, you can use that through this API that you can see at the top of the screen there. So you can still do that, but it is going to write to your local cache, not the actual.
Now, feel free to stop me if you're going to get to this later on and talk more about it in detail. But how often, will this your backed file store actually sync with the local cache? Like, if I'm making frequent changes to my actual website, how long do I think it'll take before it syncs up with my one instance or my X instances?
Yeah, so we will get into that a little bit later, but
great.
I can summarize very quickly. It's one-time sync.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the whole flow of
Perfect.
Updating things later.
Okay.
Yeah. So to get things going, I mean, I can kind of go through this, but I think it'd be a little bit more interesting to actually jump into
Absolutely.
A demo, because I know people are all about the demos. So I'm going to actually start from a fresh site.
Oh, fancy.
I know, right? Which is kind of nerve-wracking, but it does help set up the whole overall scenario. So if we go and we create a new web app, we're just going to talk, you know, local cache demo. And I'm just going to deploy that into my subscription here, and let's just make sure it's local, and we'll create. So we're going out, we're setting up our site, and the reason I'm doing this is because we're actually going to go and create a site slot. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with site slots?
I am familiar with site slots. Do you want to quickly recap?
I will quickly recap. So site slots are a feature that we enabled to give you a staged kind of deployment environment. So very similarly, like you want a production application or your production site, but you also want some sort of QA or staging site.
Yep.
Site slots enable those separate environments, but then the ability to actually swap your vNext version into production as soon as you have it deployed.
If I'm not mistaken, they can also be used for a form of like A-B testing, right? Because you can route a certain amount of traffic to one slot and a certain amount to a different slot. Is that right?
That is right, yes. So you can use the feature called traffic routing that will do some... It's not A-B testing per se,
right?
But it does give you a kind of a pre-screen for your vNext release before you push that in production.
So I guess you could think of it as A-B testing if you were doing the metrics on the backside to understand what was happening.
Yes,
but you have that capability to do that sort of routing.
Yes, so if you are doing the analytics yourself, that would be A-B testing.
Right.
This is more along the lines of kind of just a smoke test with real live traffic.
Perfect.
Because your test scenarios are great and they could be amazing. Mm-hmm. They're not going to catch real live traffic.
It's true. Yeah. That's true.
So I'm just going to go and create a staging site here. I don't have any configurations, but I can copy all of the default configs. But we're just going to go ahead and let that deploy on its own, and we'll get things started up from our site.
Sounds good.
So I'm jumping into app settings here. And this is how everything's kind of configured in Azure, is use your app settings.
Yep.
So we have a couple different ones, and I made myself a cheat sheet just to make sure that I didn't mistype anything. Mm. Plus, I mean, no one wants to watch me type. It's terrible.
So am I correct in assuming what you're doing, that this is more of like a manual currently? Like there's no like switch necessarily. It's you need to go in and add these app settings, so you kind of need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you do need to know what you're doing, and that's why we have the doc up there.
Yep.
I'll kind of get into the scenarios after to do this, but let's go and kind of show how to get this moving.
Sounds good.
So I just added a site setting called website underscore local underscore cache underscore option.
Mm-hmm.
And I set it to always. Because true or false wasn't quite good enough for us.
Fair
we went
enough.
With always.
It's always or never, right?
Yep. and then what you want to do is you want to have this as a slot setting.
Okay.
Understand the concept of slot setting. If you check this checkbox, it stays with the slot. So when you do that swap feature, it doesn't move to your QA or staging slot.
Gotcha.
It stays in production.
Gotcha.
All right. And then the other thing I'm going to do, just because it will kind of give us the two things that you could set up, is do website underscore local underscore cache underscore size in MB.
Mm-hmm.
And that says, you know, how many megabytes do I need? So the default's 300. I'm just going to leave it at 300.
Okay.
We can go and adjust this if we need to.
So when you say the default, does that mean that you don't have to put this in there? It'll assume it's 300 if you don't, or?
It will assume it's 300 if you don't, because that's, I mean, we load up the app setting anyways as soon as it's turned on.
Okay.
But if you, I just do it because if we did need to go and tweak this later, it's a lot easier just to go in and change the value as to try and look up the documentation. Pull this in.
Now, what's the reason that somebody has to go do this as opposed to them just, you know, us just knowing that, you know, their site's X megabytes? Like, does that setting really change something performance-wise, or?
Performance-wise, no, but it does actually increase the size of the cache.
Okay.
So if you go and your site was, say, 310 megabytes, you're going to start writing, and then you're going to hit a boundary, and we're going to be like, oh, your site replication to local cache failed.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just going to save this. Once again, checking off slot setting just to make sure we're local. And then, so now we have our cache turned on.
Yes.
We have our 300 megabyte cache.
Mm-hmm.
We're good. let's go and actually look at, I'm just going to use a pre-deployed version of code.
Okay.
I know I went through the process, but we'll get back to that in a second.
Sure.
So I'm here on my awesome web app, and
it's very awesome.
It is quite awesome. So you can see that we've gone to local cache, mm-hmm. and there's local cache flag set to true, and local cache ready set to true. So in our app here, let me just get rid of this. This page basically goes and looks at the app setting.
Yep.
So is there if there's a local cache option, yay.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing here is the fact that our website local cache is ready. Mm. And that is where, you know, we get notified from that environment variable that everything is now running on the local disk.
Mm.
So, I mean, not incredibly exciting, but how we can tell this is if you look at the static page counter, and we go back into the portal here, reload our site. I mean, this is obviously going to happen anyways. And just start refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Once it restarts and gets the local cache, it'll go back to zero, right?
Should go back to zero.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So this full .NET application now running in local cache,
mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, primed up and ready to go. Not overly exciting because, I mean, it's hard to look at how much faster it's loading.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're running, and this is where we get into the scenarios,
mm-hmm.
if you are running something like a PHP application, one of the very popular things so far that we've seen deployed to app services is WordPress.
Yep, absolutely.
And the cool thing about WordPress is the site files typically don't change too often.
Right.
But, you know, it does mean that you do need to run two versions of your WordPress site because you can't just go in and hit install updates because those will all go to the local cache and not written back to the actual site.
Okay.
So the reason why I did that whole staging site is how you get around that limitation of making sure that you can actually update your bits of your site is to go deploy your subsequent versions to your deployment slot and then swap all of those code changes in.
Okay.
When your site restarts, we'll go and we'll do the synchronization from storage again.
Okay, so basically in this situation, in this scenario you talked about where it's WordPress, you've got a staging slot which is running the exact same WordPress site. You'd go to that one to make your changes and say, you know, install the updates.
Yep.
When you're happy, you switch over. The slot settings you set up earlier, since they were slot settings, stay with your production version, and then the new code gets deployed, it gets moved into the local cache again, and you're good.
Yep.
Great.
You've been paying attention.
A little bit.
Yeah, so that's basically, it does add a little bit of a step, but to be very honest, we expect you to use this kind of workflow anyways, just because we've added the functionality in there to make things incredibly easy to go from one version of your code to the next.
Mm.
We see a lot of people going out and actually using this.
Right.
Continuous integration from GitHub is a huge thing.
Totally.
And, you know, you should be swapping your next version in as to deploying directly to your production app.
So since earlier when I asked, you know, how often it syncs with your actual, the code behind, you said, you know, one-time sync for this version. So again, like since you're doing this swap and a redeployment, that's how it knows, hey, I need to resync my local cache, right?
Or so the interesting thing is, because we have this local cache ready variable, what you can do is if we pop into the Kudu site, yes, let's just go from here. What you do is we have this functionality called multi-phase swap. Have you had Daria on to talk about
multi-phase
swap?
I don't think we have.
All right, maybe I should connect the two of you.
Perhaps.
Sorry, no local cache. There we go. So if you go in here, there's an environment section where you can actually see the environment variables.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise. And if we go and we type in website with all one word, there's our local cache on. Oh, these are app settings.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Oh, there's 45 different
words. Yeah, maybe look for cache.
Let's look for local.
There we go.
All right. There's our local cache on.
Yep.
And our, what was it called again? Local cache. Let's look for ready. No ready. All right. Oh, because we don't have it enabled in our staging site.
Yes, that's correct.
My apologies. There we go. So if we go back, this is our SCM site for our production site.
Yes, the one that does have caching.
That has caching enabled. That has cache enabled.
Oy. Or does it?
It should. I swear I have the local cache app setting. So this is our local cache demo.
Oh, are you trying to look at the new site, the app, awesome web app site?
I was looking at the awesome web app site.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I think I know what happens.
Okay.
So, when you load up Kudu, the process starts.
Right.
Which means all of the environment variables at that given point in time are actually set.
Right.
So unless we restart Kudu, we're not going to see that environment variable
in
Kudu.
I see. Because it won't go refresh.
Because it's not going to refresh the environment
that
variables.
That makes more sense.
But if you, what would be a good way to do this?
Well, you'd have to pretty much go to a website that was printing out that value, right?
Yes.
You'd have to be printing it out on
you
the fly.
Yeah, you could do a local. Actually, so you know what? This is what I've suggested in the past, and what basically the workflow that I'm looking for here is, if you use multi-phase swap, what you can do is you commit the first phase of the swap, which is pull all my environment settings from my production app and apply them to my staging slot.
Mm.
Then what I was saying is you go look for that ready state. So to be honest, if you really wanted to, you could sit there in your staging slot and kind of hit the refresh button. Then it will pop up in Kudu.
Gotcha.
What you could also do is a web job that will notify you. Because the web job, if you put it on a continuous job and the process exits, it will load a new process, the environment variables where you put it.
Right.
Once you see that, you then go and commit the second part of the swap operation, which actually goes and puts it into the production. Like it does the DNS swap between your production and staging environment.
Okay.
So you can actually make sure using multi-phase swap that you have a fully local cached enabled environment before you do the actual swap.
I see.
So it's not trying to pull those files in when it's in production.
Yeah, makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sorry for jumbling around a little bit.
That's okay. I think that's all right.
Yeah. So basically, though, if you are running an open source language, PHP, Node.js, you could have very similar latency issues with Java, so that could be a possibility, or Python.
Right.
It gives you the ability to enable this local cache, get everything closer, avoid having to do network latency reads against our network drive. Everything's nice and local.
Great. And now, is there any advantage if you're doing an ASP.NET site for this, or is it not, the speed is real? I mean, I understand why you get that speed when you're doing Java or Python or PHP or Node or potentially Java. Is there really any reason you'd want to do local cache if you're doing a .NET website?
So for .NET, I mean, typically when you start up a .NET site, you're loading all the assemblies into memory in the first place. So everything's pretty much local unless you're loading up a new assembly.
Right.
But if you are coupling, like if you are loading things up on the fly, moving that assembly across the wire could still cause issues.
Okay.
Right? So you could go and enable this for a .NET site if you do have a lot of dynamic assembly retrieval. But hopefully if you are going out and building your application and you don't have a lot of assembly sitting on, I mean, because everything that is in .NET would be local to the machine anyways.
Right.
It's really your application code that's going to be the issue. So
okay.
Yes, in short, yes, you could benefit from an ASP.NET site using local cache, but sometimes it's not really required.
Okay. Makes sense.
I mean, your app start would get a little bit faster because it's local.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Cool. And now, so we saw the web page earlier, and we'll make sure the link is included that. Is there anywhere else people can go for more information or if they have questions?
Biggest thing is going to the documentation itself. If you do have questions, if you go into, actually, I'm going to show this off because a lot of people don't know about it. If you go into the portal and you type in help, surprise, surprise, there are links here off to both the MSDN forums and Stack Overflow.
Oh, convenient.
Yep. So our team is actually monitoring both.
Okay.
You'll see David Ebbo out there like crazy.
Yep.
I'm there from time to time. So if you do have questions in regards to it, my suggestion, if you have just general questions like how does this work, go to MSDN forums.
Okay.
If you actually run into like development specific things because you are running local cache, hit up, you know, Stack Overflow.
If anybody else has seen the same thing.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And now do you have, I believe you have a Twitter handle in case people want to get a hold of you?
I do have a Twitter handle. My Twitter handle is CFowlerMSFT.
All right, and well, you gotta give us one of these. There we go. Now we can show it on the screen.
Sweet.
Great. Well, Corey, I appreciate you coming and showing us the local cache. It's cool to see how we're enabling developers of, you know, non.NET languages to be able to make faster and more performant web apps. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Great. Well, everybody out there, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.